Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. I hope that those of you who have been with me over all these years are listening, because I'm not hearing much from you. How do I say this? God likes to hear from the people with whom he's having a relationship. Well, so do I. I hope I'm not whistling in the wind or talking to trees who have not the ability to respond. Dr. Scott, my pastor and teacher, had a great ability to put his finger on a problem when he was having a problem with his congregation. Enough said. I've got God's word to bring before us today. I've been spending time in the Psalms. And, you know, I was actually supposed to go to Psalm 142, but I made a mistake and I went to Psalm 143 instead. And, both of the Psalms are written by David, a man after God's own heart, from whom all of us should look to and identify with, because David was as human as any of us. I don't need to go in to David's shortcomings. I don't need to go into my shortcomings. I don't need to go into your shortcomings. You don't need to go into your shortcomings. But we find ourselves in situations. David, fleeing from Achish, king of Gath, fleeing the Philistines, found himself in the cave of Adullam, surrounded by people with this description, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. God's word needs to be affected. We need to be affected with God's word. I think today, the psalm we're going to, 143, speaks to those who might be, common term today, stressed out, who might be in distress, like those who gather themselves with David. And David writes this psalm. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ears to my supplication. In thy faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness. Let's look at three words in that first verse. Give ear to my supplications. This word, supplicate, includes an idea of humility, that we bow our head, that we bow our knee to something greater. Sometimes, to get humiliated, to get humble, we need to be humiliated. God knows what we need, but our attitude should be, as we come to God, we come with some humility. It says, in thy faithfulness answer me. This word in the Hebrew is amanuto. Its root is aleph, mem, nun. Amen. I've said it hundreds of times over the years. This word, amen, means no doubt. We know God has no doubt when he says something, it is. Whether we see it or not, it is. God is faithful. He has no doubt in his word. In addition, it says, and in thy righteousness. This word is tzedek. It has to do, it's, you know, rightly translated, righteousness. But righteousness in what? In covenant. Without keeping covenant, no righteousness. God has made covenants with his people, and his people recognize his not only ability, but his power and his faithfulness to perform that which he has covenanted with his people. David says, enter not into judgment with thy servant, for in your sight shall no man living be justified. Now, I hope you hear this, because this statement, in one way or another, is repeated very often in the New Testament. Romans 3:20, Romans 3:28, Galatians 2:16, and I could go on and on and on. Write it down. Romans 3:20, Romans 3:28, Galatians 2:16. Check me out. I want you to understand there is nothing that you or I can do to be justified. In this word justified in the Hebrew is, again, tzedekah, righteous. In the Greek Septuagint, that is the Old Testament translated into Greek, the word is dikaiou, or dikaiousanein. Again, same meaning, righteous, righteousness, righteousified, not justified. He goes on. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has smitten my life to the ground and has made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. I have a note in my Bible. It says, seven things to do in distress. Does it sound like a man after God's own heart is having a problem? Does it sound like he's distressed? They've made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. And my heart within me is desolate. This word in the Hebrew has a sense of being appalled, being stunned, being horrified. Any of you ever found yourself in a situation? Well, David gives a roadmap to removing this distress, this stress, this feeling of desolation. It says in the fifth verse, I remember the days of old. That's one. Remember the days of old. The days of living on the promises of God, not on circumstance we may find ourselves in. It says, I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thine hands. Now, this word meditate and this word muse are two different words in the Hebrew. However, they bring the same sense of meaning. It means to ponder, to think, to even dream on things we haven't seen, but God's word has declared him, and we know his faithfulness, and we know his covenant keeping, his righteousness with us. So we remember, we meditate, we muse. Then it says, I stretch forth my hands unto thee. That's number four. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Think about that. Stretch forth your hands to God. Praise him. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down to the pit, into the pit. Alternative translation is, lest I become like those that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. It's a good way to start the day. Knowing that God does exercise loving kindness, that you have the understanding that God does exercise loving kindness. For in thee do I trust. The word is betach, to lean with your whole weight upon a staff is the picture, but to lean with your whole weight upon God and upon his word and upon his promises. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. for I lift up my soul unto thee. Now, if you're marking these down, one is verse 5, the word remember. In verse 5, the word meditate. In verse 5, the word muse. In verse 6, which is number 4, stretch forth thine hand. Number 5, say to God, my soul thirsts after thee. Number 6, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Here I am, Lord, save me. And 7, for in you, in thee, do I trust. Period. He goes on to say, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. The alternative Hebrew is, hide me with thee. Now, how often have we said that, you know, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Jesus, Paul, speaking of Christ, says in the 3rd chapter of the book of Colossians, the 3rd verse, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hide me with thee. I flee unto thee. Hide me with thee. Our life is hid with Christ in God. Teach me to do your will. What's God's will? God is asking us nothing that we can't do. He's not asking us to be perfect. He's not asking us to keep the 613 different laws. He's not asking us to offer him our righteousness. For faith, he offers us. He promises his righteousness to us. God is looking for one thing from his children, from his people, from his church. I don't care how often you've gone to church. I don't know. I don't care how many years you've gone to church. I don't care how corrupt the church has made the Word of God. God is looking for one thing and one thing only from us, and that is trust or faith. And faith is the simple definition of faith is acting on the promises of God as though they are more real than anything we might see, hear, or feel, whatever the circumstance may be. This man after God's own heart, David, is most relatable to any of us. And he says, teach me to do thy will. What is God's will? To trust in God. For thou art my God, thy spirit is good. There's a note in the margin of my Bible for this declaration by David, for thy spirit. Thy spirit is good would bring us to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, to the 26th verse. We need to have context. And context of Scripture is, God is faithful, be thou faithful. It says, for thy spirit is good. Jesus said, these things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. I'm telling you, I'm certainly not the most intelligent of men. But in his loving kindness, God has given me his Holy Spirit. And it is teaching me. And it is bringing me into remembrance of God's word, which does comfort me. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, does comfort me. I would that God's Spirit and his word, God's Spirit, and bringing you into remembrance of his word, does comfort you. Lead me into the land of uprightness. How do you get upright or righteous? By faith. Righteousness is a gift of God. Not of you, of God. Oh, that this would be proclaimed throughout the world, that men and women might come to know more of God, our Father. I was thinking earlier today about, to my human mind, and to, I think, any human mind, the thought that verse in Hebrews 11, and I'm going to paraphrase, that God spoke and nothing became everything. That was hard for me to relate to. It is hard. I mean, I'm not denying it. Don't get me wrong. But to comprehend blows the top of my mind off. But this relationship we are having with the one whom Jesus called the Father. This word, Father, I can relate to. The name Jesus doesn't mean a whole lot, but the definition of Jesus, that is the Hebrew or the Greek transliteration of the Hebrew name Joshua, it is a contracted word. It's not just Joshua, it's Jehoshua, contraction for Jehovah Ashua, God, our helper. I can relate to that. And do so often. I hope you will too. Daily, in the morning, of his loving kindness that we should remember. Good way to start the day. quicken me. Give life to me, O Lord, for your name's sake. God did all this, believe it or not, for himself. He chose you for himself. Did all of this for himself. We happen to be the beneficiary recipients. In having this relationship with our Father by faith. Give life to me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. David is not here, or we do not see in this psalm victory, but we see a grasping of the principle in light. Bring my soul out of trouble, and of thy mercy, cut off thine enemies, mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Oh. You know, I'm going to stay with David. Jesus, I understand. I totally understand. You know, if he smite thee on thy left cheek, give him the right. But there's a time to stand. And it is no sin to appeal to God in his mercy to cut off our enemies and destroy. That means to exterminate. There's a time coming when all our enemies, particularly our great adversary Satan, shall be destroyed. God's word proclaims it. That's my hope. That is my confidence. We shall see our desire for our enemies to be cut off and to be destroyed. I believe in our lifetime, it's coming, folks. Not tomorrow, but it's coming. God's word is forever settled in heaven. God's word is true. Let every circumstance be a lie. Let us though we may be in distress, though we may be in debt, though we may be discontented, let us remember, let us meditate, let us muse, let us stretch forth our hands, let us lift up our soul unto God and trust in him. And I'm telling you, that which we may be distressed about for tomorrow, well, you know, tomorrow never comes, because when tomorrow comes, it's today. Let us hear, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning. God is faithful, folks. Let us continue a life of faith, which is living, acting, grabbing hold of all the promises of God, for they are in Christ, yea, and in him, amen. That's the God School for today.